Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, and today we're talking about Abishai. One, two.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How you doing today?
I'm doing so good.
It's good. I'm glad to hear that.
How are
doing
you?
Well. I'm doing fantastic.
Hell yeah. We have a lot of people to thank this episode, including
we
people
do.
That sent letters to our P.O. box. We're going to read those at the end.
Thank
Somebody
you.
Somebody sent us a sweet Xanathar mini.
Anonymously.
Anonymously. We have no idea who you are, so thank you so much.
Thank you. We love it.
Let us know who you are if you feel like it, because we would like to
or
thank
you.
Or
don't if you don't.
Yeah, like whatever. I mean, I'd like to thank you, but I don't have to. I just enjoy this mini.
I mean, we still thank you.
Well, thank you.
We don't have to know who you are.
I'm grateful. I can't thank you because I don't know who you are, but you know who you are.
So
receive my gratitude.
So, Brian.
Hey.
Guess what?
What?
It is Year of the Fiend.
I knew that.
But this podcast is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Yes.
So what happens when you put a little fiend in your dragon and a little dragon in your fiend?
Ooh.
The Abishai.
Put the lime in the coconut and mix it all up.
You get yourself the Abishai. So both,
nice.
Both fiend and dragon, but mostly fiend. These dragon-like devils look fucking awesome, if you ask me. And do you know who also dwells in the Nine Hells and is totally, oh God, what is happening with the...
You scrolled too hard.
I scrolled too hard.
I know the answer, though. It's Tiamat.
It's definitely Tiamat because yeah. she also dwells in Nine Hells and is totally a dragon.
She's fiendish as hell.
And also the reason Abishai exist.
Yeah.
So Abishai, also known as Scaly Devils, are devils in direct service to the Queen of Chromatic Dragons herself. In fact, each Abishai in existence was once a mortal who somehow won Tiamat's favor before death and as a reward found its soul transformed into a hideous devil to serve at her pleasure in the Nine Hells. Sweet prize, bro.
Great.
Any questions before we just get into it?
Oh, man. Just the general... No, okay. It won't be worth it.
It's TMS, so you know it's going to be icky.
It's going to be gross.
It's going to be gross.
She's going to be doing it.
So, as I said, Abishai were mortals that, for whatever reason, managed to earn the favor of the Dragon Queen in life and who are in death rewarded with a fiendish form. These souls of her non-dragon worshippers manifest in her realm as wriggling souls before she judges their worth, with those deemed acceptable being transformed through a horrifying process into white Abishai and all other beings sold to, and all others being sold to buying devils in exchange for golden gems. So, like, even if you have served her well, she might be like, nah, I kind of want some more gold and sell you off.
Cool. That's great. That makes me feel so comfortable.
I know, right?
Well, I'm in hell, so I'm not supposed to feel comfortable.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, if you go that route, you're going to be what first manifested into, I believe they're called, is it the Menez or the Lemurs? I can never remember which is demon and which is devil.
Oh, aren't there Lemurs demon?
I think the Lemurs are demon, so you will be transformed into what is called a Menez.
Okay.
Go ahead and Google that.
Googling
either
Lemurs.
Way, you will be siphoned into the lower ranks of the devil hierarchy that way.
I see.
Unless she keeps you, in which case you will be siphoned into her personal ranks of devil kind. Mm-hmm. To anyone unfamiliar with the appearance of the five major chromatic dragons, Abishai would appear to be almost archetypical devils due to their strong resemblance to gothic gargoyles, being thin, clawed reptilians with large leathery bat wings. Their tails are prehensile, constantly whipping around their bodies, and are tipped with a hidden barb, kind of like a wyvern.
Or Demogorgon.
Shout out to Demogorgon. The Abishai's eyes are slanted, and from their fanged, snapping jaws come rasping voices. Mm. Strangely, their presence brings with them the smell of vinegar and a perceptible increase in the warmth of the air.
It smells like Meemaw just cleaned the kitchen. I was wrong.
So Lemur's the devil.
We were wrong.
Menez yeah. are the... Or mains.
Lemur's not the devil. It's a devil.
Well, yeah, it's a devil.
We like know who the devil is.
Asmo.
A-Town. So I don't know. What's the other thing called? Meeser?
Menez. So it's spelled like mains. M-A-N-E-S.
M-A-N. Oh, I see.
And I might be mispronouncing that, but I just, this seems to be in my
Manny's.
Manny's.
Okay.
So yeah, the vinegar and the perceptible increase of warmth is kind of an odd touch.
Yeah, I see. It's this one's the demon.
Yeah, that one's the demon. So Abishai come in 5 different color variations: red, white, black, green, and blue. And to those who are familiar with the appearance of chromatic dragons, it is more than their color, which makes their relation to their draconic counterpart clear. Each type of Abishai's skull structure and facial features heavily resemble that of their chromatic type, much like a half dragon. I don't know if you've taken a look at the half dragon in the monster manual.
They're different from dragonborns.
Yes. Okay. They are different from dragonborns. And specifically, the half dragon that's depicted in the monster manual, it basically looks like you took the head of a red dragon and put it on a man's body, kind of.
Oh, okay.
While a dragonborn, they have more of a general draconic look. They don't look like any specific type of dragon, unless you homebrew it, which I do all the time.
Somebody, I wonder if this is the right time to bring this up. We can save it for the end of the episode.
No, go ahead.
Somebody was like, why are you so against Unearthed Arcana stuff and so for homebrew stuff? But I think the connotation, like why we say that, got kind of twisted.
Right.
Somebody asking us that?
I just don't care for covering Unearthed Arcana stuff because eventually it either gets thrown away or becomes official. And so it's just easier to cover what's official.
Right. Like, we're not against Unearthed Arcana. We are on the show, on covering it on the show specifically.
Yeah, I just don't want to cover it on the show because I have so much else to cover. And Unearthed Arcana, it sits in this weird gray zone of like, will it ever be real?
Yeah, and homebrew is like its own official section of like the
And I also don't cover other people's homebrews.
Right, because that gets weird. We do our own homebrew on this show if we think it's cool enough.
Yeah.
Right? Have we covered our own homebrew?
No, we haven't really covered our own homebrew, but
we just
like
do a lot in our campaigns.
We mention like alternative things that that can be done with a monster or a god or a this or a that based off our own experience. Which is kind of why people, I would imagine, listen to us. Because if you wanted just the straight information without any of the flavor, well, there's a bunch of places you could go to listen to stuff. You come to us because we have that weird zest that we add to stuff.
So. Yeah. Don't smell it. Just listen to it.
Just listen
the weird
to
zest.
It. Oh, no.
Okay. I finally got to half dragons.
You go. That's the one. So,
yeah.
Looks like a red dragon head put on a man's body.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, more dragony than a dragonborn.
Yes. Or more specific to like a red dragon type.
Yes.
Well, Abishai are pretty much exactly the same, except for they kind of mix fiendish qualities in there. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, each type of Abishai skull structure and facial features heavily resembles that of their chromatic type, much like a half dragon. Blues have their characteristic single nose horn and crocodilian teeth. Blacks have their downward curving horns and skull-like face, and so on. Generally, Abishai average about 250 to 500 pounds. That's 110 to 230 kilograms.
Nice.
And have an average height between 48 feet or 1.2 to 2.4 meters.
I love that.
Abishai are arrogant devils that view themselves as the purest children of Tiamat, and as such view themselves as superior to both her other underlings as well as other devils. They draw both their philosophical stances and demeanor from their queen and swear fealty to her alone. So they are not interested in anything else going on in the Nine Hells.
It's weird that they're arrogant. Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately for them, they have very little standing in the Hells despite being quite powerful, and even their patron queen cares little for them. I know.
Sucks to suck.
In fact, unintuitively, it is because Tiamat shows complete disregard for her spawn that they feel the need to earn her attention through excellent service.
That's toxic as fuck, man.
So toxic.
I gotta earn mom's love again.
Why would you love me, mom? It's
been 60 days. Do you think she's gonna love me yet? All right, 61 days.
They have an intense sense of rivalry, probably better described as a bitter need to prove themselves, not only with other devils of Beator who hold them in contempt and see them as lesser fiends, but between the different breeds of Abishai as well. Classism runs deep in Abishai, and they only interact with Abishai of immediately higher or lower rank, and even then, they can hardly tolerate their interactions with each other.
I'm guessing they're just evil pieces of shit, but if they weren't just evil pieces of shit, I would feel bad for them because of the sort of dichotomy that they have going on between the elitism of the dragons and the devils.
Maybe this is just a lesson in the fact that evil perpetuates itself. Like, it is a cycle they're incapable of escaping.
Damn, that was deep.
Anyway,
dungeon deep.
Dungeon deep. Abishai are irritated by their own low status and state of servitude, and thus take great pleasure in tormenting the few devils lower in the infernal hierarchy than themselves. In addition, they have a practical clinical fascination with discovering the depths of mortal suffering.
Hey! Look how deep I can get also, this needle into also, this guy's foot before he starts to like scream. That.
That's so horrible. Yeah. My gosh. Abishai stand outside the normal hierarchy of the Nine Hells, having their own chain of command, ultimately answering to Tiamat and Asmodeus when the Dark Lord chooses to use them.
A-Town.
Other archdevils can command Abishai to work for them. Okay, sorry. Let's stop for a minute. So the correct pronunciation of the plural of Abishai is Abishai's. But that just sounds stupid to me.
Yeah, we should say Abashis.
That sounds worse.
No, it doesn't.
I keep using the singular as the plural because it feels right. What's your opinion on this? Is it a group of Abishai or is it a group of Abishais?
It is a cluster, a bash.
Fair enough. Other archdevils can command Abishai to work for them, but most archdevils do so rarely, since it is never clear whether an Abishai follows Tiamat's orders or Asmodeus's. There is inherent risk in countermanding an order given by Tiamat, but interfering with Asmodeus's plans invites certain destruction.
A beatdown of Abishai.
A beatdown of Abishai. I love it. What do you call a group of Abishai? A beatdown?
A beatdown.
I love it. Tiamat deploys Abishai as now I'm switching. I'm going back to the S.
Tiamat deploys a beatdown.
A beatdown as emissaries. Tiamat deploys Abishai's as emissaries, sending them to represent her interests in the Hells and across the multiverse. Some have simple tasks, such as delivering a message to cultists or taking charge of worshippers to carry out a sensitive mission. Others have greater responsibilities, such as leading large groups, assassinating targets, and serving in armies. In all cases, Abishai are fanatically loyal to Tiamat, ready to lay down their lives if needed.
These are the guys they send out to put flyers on doors for the Nine Hells barbecue that they do every
year. Yeah, no, definitely. They're definitely doing that. Abishai willingly cooperate with the dragon spawn of mortal planes, often taking positions of great influence among them. Where Tiamat's mortal spawn represent her desire to subjugate the material plane, the Abishai represent the impact she's made within hell. Those in the Nine Hells are often found in the roles of both tormentors or torturers and wardens, particularly in the first two layers, responsible for keeping watch of captives and processing prisoners to the correct layers. Wings, two or three Abishai. Oh, okay. So we're immediately, after we made up a really dope name for groups, are being countered by the actual lore.
This is a bummer.
Apparently, a wing is two or three Abishai, are the most common grouping of their kind in charge of hunting down fugitives that escape from the prisons of the Hells. Whales are groups of 3 to 12 that operate the prison compounds and guard scores of captives. So anything above a 12 is a beatdown.
This sucks. The one time I tried to make this joke on this show, and it's just fucking already there in the lore. Thanks a lot, Wizards.
No, it's cool. We can build this
I'm
in.
I'm pretty sure this is the first time in these hundreds of episodes I've tried to make this sort of joke.
I know.
And so I've done it in my normal life, and it goes great. And this time I just, okay, fine. A beatdown has to be more than 12. I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. So a wing is 2 or 3. A whale is it's 3 to 12.
A wing, 12, a whale, and then a beatdown. Maybe it should...
Okay, let's keep going.
That's
so funny. Individual Abishai are also given the task of tempting and corrupting mortals with gold, gems, and magical items.
Oh, right. And the fucking dragon person comes out of a fucking demon hole in the ground. It's like, hey, I've got some gems. Silver coins.
It's absolutely right. And as such, often have access to great resources despite their low station. Mortals that agree to their vile pacts are often deceived, as the Abishai have a tendency to give magic of such intense power that those inexperienced in magic often lose control of it and die.
It's like the scene where Pennywise is trying to get the kids to go into the fucking sewer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
like
much.
A fucking balloon. Great.
Oh, why is it? There we go. Each Abishai breed is a distinct devil type, and while they can and often do go through every color rank, it is also possible for them to be promoted directly to other forms of devil kind if they show a particular excellency. So
just like everybody else. So
well, yeah, just like everybody else. So like most Abishai go from like white to black to green to blue to red, right?
Okay.
But some get recruited out of being Abishai. It's like, no, you're a chain devil now.
Yeah, they're so used to getting spray tanned like different colors, and then they get put into a Play-Doh machine, and that shit probably sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're a chain devil.
Let's take a short rest.
Oh, okay.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? You or someone you love falling into depression or struggling with anxiety can keep you from what you care about. Struggling with mental health is something a lot of us deal with, including myself. But luckily, there's something we can do. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You'll be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. This service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if you need to. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/dungeon. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Right now, listeners of the Dungeon Cast can get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/dungeon.
We've returned.
Indeed, we have.
We're back to talk about dragons, but sort of.
Devil dragons. Dragon devils.
Year of my friends.
Abishai. Before we get into the individual Abishai, is there any questions, comments, concerns you want to bring up?
Okay, they're just footmen, pretty much.
Maybe some of the lower ones. You'll see when we get to the individual ones, but maybe someone like the white and black Abishai, but like the reds, the blues, the greens, like they're big, powerful.
I think I have the general idea down.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into the specifics.
Tiamat was like, this place needs more fucking dragons.
Yeah.
I made some up there. I'm going to keep making them up there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make some down here. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, Dan, get down here and fuck me.
I hate this.
Yeah. I hate Tiamat.
I like DMAT, but okay. All right, let's
so
start.
Gross.
Let's start with Red Abishai. So Red Abishai have no equals among the Abishai when it comes to leadership, ability, and raw power. They can invoke Tiamat's authority to bend even dragons to their will. Red Abishai lead other devils into battle or take charge of troublesome cults to ensure that they continue to carry out Tiamat's commands. A Red Abishai cuts a fearsome figure, and that sight can be inspiring to their Abishai allies, or to the Abishai's allies, filling them with a fanatical willingness to fight. Like the true dragon counterparts, the red dragons, they have a supernatural affinity to fire and believe themselves to be Tiamat's chosen.
Cool. Wow. I'm not surprised at all by that.
All right, let's move on to Blue Abishai.
Okay.
Seekers of forgotten lore and lost relics, Blue Abishai are the most cunning and learned of their kind. Their research into occult subjects gleaned from tomes and grimoires plundered from across the multiverse enables them to become accomplished spellcasters. They use their magic to devastate their mistress's enemies. Blue Abishai are the second highest of the Abishai devils. Like their true dragon counterparts, the blue dragons, they have supernatural affinity to lightning. The barbed stinger on the end of the blue Abishai's tail induces a powerful electric shock.
Tiamat was like, what if I could make all of these again, but worse?
Well, I mean, it makes sense. She's surrounded by devils that she probably doesn't trust in any way, shape, or form. So her original idea was like, oh, I'll just fuse them with my babies.
Yeah.
Right. Green Abishai. the envoys of Tiamat's armies, Green Abishai represent the gods' interests in the Nine Hells and beyond. Their keen senses make them adept at discovering secrets and other sensitive information, while their diplomatic skills and their magic ensure that they can manipulate even the shrewdest opponents. Green Abishai are the middle class of the Abishai devils. Like their true dragon counterparts, the green dragons, they are poisonous creatures that have mastered the art of manipulation.
Yep, classic stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Green Abishai have access to a variety of mind-manipulating spells, such as mass suggestion and detect thoughts. They also have a strength-sapping poison in their tail stingers and claws.
I like the detect thoughts. Like, what do you think? Because doesn't that just give you, like, surface emotion-level thoughts?
You know,
like,
I think so. I haven't really looked at the spell in a very long
time. I wonder if Jeff's mad at me. Oh, shit he is.
Oh, shit he is.
Jeff mad!
Black Abishai, expert assassins and infiltrators. Black Abishai can weave shadows to master their presence, allowing them to reach a location from where they can deliver a fatal strike to their targets. Black Abishai are the second lowest of the Abishai devils. Like their true dragon counterparts, the Black Dragons, they have a supernatural affinity to acid and are skilled in ambushes. In order to help them slink through the shadows, Black Abishai can cast a darkness spell. They can summon other Black Abishai as well as White Abishai and Lemurs. Their tail stingers contain acid that they use to burn their foes when they aren't simply biting and clawing at them.
I think that acid breath is the scariest one.
You think so?
I know, like, fire breath and, like, what was the green one? It's like a poison cloud?
Poison cloud, yeah.
That one's scary too, but yeah, the acid just like melting fools. Like when acid breath hits and kills somebody, that fool, in my imagination and when I'm DMing, melts that person.
You know, yeah, of the five, I think lightning's got to be the most merciful, right? Because it's probably instant death. You get electrified, you die.
Yeah, you get charred probably too.
While like, the fire and the fire is like acid, but, you know, it's hot burning, while acid is chemical burning. The poison is burning you from the inside, and then the ice is really kind of frost burning you.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I've touched like raw nitrogen or whatever the fuck. Like,
yeah, for, like, liquid nitrogen?
Or CO2.
Oh, CO2 for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I was doing paintball.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing leaked and I touched it. It does burn. It burns the fuck out of you.
Absolutely.
But it's so cold.
Finally, White Abishai. Though they are the least of their kind, White Abishai fight with a reckless fury, making them ideally suited for bolstering the ranks of Tiamat's armies. White Abishai fight without fear, becoming whirlwinds of destruction on the battlefield. Like their true dragon counterparts, the White Dragons, they have a supernatural affinity to frost and are viciously destructive. The stingers of the White Abishai freeze those they strike, and their bodies can be mistaken for icy statues if they hold still.
Ooh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Indeed.
They just look like sort of clear, or they go still and it's like
they are so uniformly white that like it's probably difficult to discern details from a certain distance, especially if they're still, so they simply look like blocks of ice.
It's good that these are the barbarians of this dragon group, mm-hmm. the Abishai group, because like unarmored defense, right? You can just be naked
and
it's true, be very powerful and stealthy.
Absolutely.
Like Drax, like how Drax wanted to be.
Like how Drax wants to be. any questions before we go over some stat blocks here?
I don't have...
They're pretty straightforward. I think they're really cool. I think they look really cool, which I guess you haven't seen what they look like. You should probably pull them up at some point here.
The
Abishai? Did you pull up the actual Abishai?
Oh, yeah. I only pulled up a half dragon.
Yeah, you should pull up what the Abishai look like because they have a really cool look to them. Abishai. I think it's a fun... it's a fun twist to a dragon-centric campaign. Let's say you have some dragon stuff going on early on in your campaign and you're not sure where to take it. Well, this is an option where you can introduce an Abishai, and suddenly this adventure that was going to be dragon-centric becomes a lot more fiend hell/devil-centric. And it, you know, the plot can thicken, if you will, as Tiamat's direct attention is being drawn to what's going on.
Okay, I'm seeing it. They're a lot more dragony than...
That's the mold. There we go. That's a really cool looking red Abishai straight from Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes, which is where you can find all these stat blocks.
Oh, so this isn't post... sorry, what's that dragon book that came out?
Oh, Fizban's?
Fizban! No. I fucking knew.
I think... You know what? Now I'm drawing a blank. Maybe it is in Fizban's and I'm tripping. I thought it was Mordenkainen's Tome of... No, I'm pretty sure it's Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes.
Okay.
We'll find out when we pull it up in D&D Beyond, which you guys will hear about in just a moment. All right, Brian.
Hey.
Tell me about their stat blocks, which I have not really glanced at because that's your job.
Yeah, it is my job. I'm glancing at them now. Beautiful. We have a black Abishai. That's where we're going to start because this is an alphabetical order according to Mordenkainen. And it is Mordenkainen and Stem of Foes. Kind.
I was right.
And I did get a Fizban in, which is cool.
Yeah,
even
true.
Though this technically is a Year of the Fiend episode.
I'm sure they're mentioned in the Fizban book.
Okay. So the black Abishai is a medium fiend, devil, lawful evil, armor class of 15, natty, 58 HP or 98 plus 18.
Okay.
It's a pretty powerful little foot guy.
I don't know. I find that the HP low for the challenge rating, which you're going to get to in a minute here.
Speed is 30, but with a flying speed of 40, strength plus 2, dex plus 3, con plus 2, intelligence plus 1, wisdom plus 3, charisma.
So they shine in dexterity and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Saving throws plus 6 to dex and wisdom, respectively each. Their skills are plus 6 to perception and stealth. Damage resistances cold, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks that aren't silvered. So randomly just cold.
That's got to be a typo, right?
No.
I see it. And no, it says cold, but like it should resist acid, shouldn't it?
Maybe.
All right, I'm gonna do some background checking.
Well, their
here.
Damage immunities are acid, fire, and poison.
Oh, okay.
They resist cold.
Well, I wonder if that's the devilness in them.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The flame within.
Okay.
Asmos is fire.
Mm-hmm.
Condition immunities, poison, senses, dark vision, 120 feet, passive perception, 16. Languages are Draconic, Infernal, Telepathy at 120 feet. That's strong. Challenge rating 7. Yeah, you're right. That HP is a little low for that.
Mm-hmm.
But they can fly.
They can fly, and I got a feeling they deal the good damage.
They're immune to 3 different kinds of damages.
Indeed.
Straight up. And one of them is fire.
Yeah.
Okay, so Devil's Sight, magical darkness doesn't impede the Abishai's dark vision, which is pretty good. That's powerful as well.
Mm-hmm.
Magic resistance. The Abishai has advantage on saving throws against spells and other magical effects. That's very powerful.
Yeah,
magic weapons. The Abishai's weapon attacks are magical, depending on the party, which should resist magic at some level. Or like, you know, higher level parties with good armor should be fighting these guys, it seems like. So that's good. Shadow stealth. This is the assassin one. While in dim light or darkness, the Abishai can take the hide action as a bonus action. Do some rogue shit.
Okay, so they like to hide.
And this is probably the stuff that's going to be similar between everybody, are the actions. So we got multi-attack. The Abishai makes 3 attacks, 2 with its scimitar and 1 with its bite. Has a scimitar, a melee weapon attack of plus 6 to hit, reach of 5 feet at 1 target. And yes, we are still recording audio. I was hit with a wave of anxiety. Actually recording this?
You always got to back up and check. Yeah.
Yep. I leave off on the scimitar. Yeah, scimitar is melee weapon attack plus 6 to hit, reach of 5 feet, 1 target with dealing 6 or 1d6 plus 3 slashing damage. The bite is going to be plus 6 to hit, reach of 5 feet, 1 target. Hit is going to be 8, 1d10 plus 3 piercing damage plus 9, 2d8. Acid damage. Okay, that's where the meat and the potatoes are.
It is. I'm a little surprised because they have the shadow stealth feature. I just figured that they would do extra damage if they
like a sneak attack.
If they had advantage on a hit, but okay.
Can't all be rogues.
No, can't all be rogues.
Creeping Darkness recharges on a D6 when you roll a 6. The Abishai casts Darkness at a point within 120 feet of it. Very powerful with its other feature in play. Requiring no components. Wisdom is its spellcasting ability for the spell. While the spell persists, the Abishai can move the area of darkness up to 60 feet as a bonus action. That's fucking cool.
So it can shroud itself in the darkness.
And then it can move the darkness around with it.
With itself, yeah, absolutely.
It could fly. It could go to the edge of the darkness and then move the whole darkness so the darkness is at the edge of it.
Exactly.
Right, let's move on to blues. All right. They're a lot more complicated because they do spells, and their armor class and is that, much higher.
That challenge rating is a huge jump.
Yeah, because we're just reading alphabetically and not by power level.
Yeah.
What does a scouter say about its power level, Will?
It's over 9,000.
It's not. It's 17.
It's 17. Yeah.
The XP is over 9,000. It's like double that.
Indeed.
Armor class is 19. Natty.
Mm-hmm.
195 HP.
So four times as much HP.
26 D8 plus 78. That's a lot. This is like dragon level.
Yeah, it's challenge rating 17. This is as strong as a lot of adult dragons.
Speed is 30 feet with fly speed of 50 feet, which is notably 10 more. Plus 2 to strength, plus 2 to dex, plus 3 to con, plus 6 to intelligence. My goodness, spellcaster. Plus 6 to wisdom, also very good. It's weird that those are both good. And then plus 4 to Jedisima.
Yeah. Like a dragon, it's good across the board.
Yeah, intelligence plus 12, wisdom plus 12, saving throw. Arcana plus 12 for skills. Damage resistances, cold, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage from non... Yeah, this cold must be the devil part
of
them.
I think so.
Damage immunities, fire, lightning, poison.
Yeah.
Condition immunities, poison, dark vision, 120.
It's pretty much the same there.
Pretty much the same.
You know, it's funny how powerful this thing is, and yet even these high-level Abishai are considered, like, lower-level citizens by something as small as an imp.
Yeah, just because they're part dragon. Right. They're not, like, full devils.
Exactly.
Devil's Sight, magic resistance, magic weapons, which just covered. Spellcasting is the big difference here, besides all the huge stat buffs. 13th level spellcaster, its spellcasting ability is intelligence with a save DC of 20, plus 12 to hit with spell attacks. The Abishai has the following wizard spells prepared for cantrips: Friends, Mage Hand, Message, Minor Illusion, Shocking Grasp. All really cool, good picks. Mm-hmm. First level, we got Chromatic Orb, Disguise Self, Expeditious Retreat, Magic Missiles, Charm Person, and Thunder Wave. We're going up to second level, Darkness, Mirror Image, Misty Step.
Yeah.
Third level, Dispel Magic, Fear, Lightning Bolt. Fourth level, Dimension Door, Greater Invisibility, Ice Storm. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth level, Cone of Cold, Wall of Force. Sixth level, Chain Lightning. Seventh level, Teleport. And the spell slots vary.
Yeah, a lot of utility amongst the spells I noticed.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. And I like the cold as the flavor here. Mm-hmm. I guess there's not as much like lightning themed stuff in spellcasting.
I mean, there's plenty, but they leaned into the cold.
Mm.
Yeah.
Multi-attack. This one's going to be a quarter staff. So that one's plus 8 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one target. It's going to do 1d6 plus 2 bludge, or 6 or 1d8 plus 2 bludge if used with two hands. So you could roll a d6 or a d8.
Mm-hmm.
And the bite is going to do lightning damage, 14, 4d6 with a hit of 13 or 2d10 plus 2.
And
I read that backwards, but
And 4d6 lightning damage atop as well.
Well, I read that part first.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on to the green, we got another medium fiend here. It's evil. Surprise. AC is 18, one worse than the blue.
Yeah.
Natty, HP is 187 or 25 D8 plus 75, 30 feet of movement with 40 feet of flying. Plus 1 to strength, plus 3 to dex, plus 3 to con, plus 3 to intelligence, plus 1 to wisdom, and plus 4 to charisma. This one's slightly more charismatic because it's green, huh?
Yeah, remember the greens are manipulators and liars, yeah.
Saving throws is intelligence plus 8, charisma plus 9, deception plus 9, insight plus 6, perception plus 6, persuasion plus 9, cold and bludgeoning, resist cold, bludgeoning, piercing, slashing from non-magical attacks, aren't silvered. Immune to fire and poison, only two types.
Yeah, because the poison is doubled from it being green. So
can't be poisoned.
Yeah.
And then dark vision, passive perception.
It's all the same. It's a spell casting that mostly stands out as different for this one as well.
Yeah, at will, they can alter self and major image. That's just
fucking,
whenever.
That's fucking pretty badass. Cool. That's scary.
I guess their spell save DC is important, which is 17.
Mm-hmm.
Can innately cast the following spells. Alter self, major image. Three times a day. Wow, this is not. This is like a pseudo spellcaster.
Yeah.
More like a monster than the blue dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So three times a day, can charm person, detect thoughts, and cast fear.
Fear?
Fear. Once a day, it can cast confusion, dominate person, and mass suggestion.
Mass suggestion
is crazy cool.
Yeah, all mind fuckery spells.
Mind fuckery.
Cool.
Once a day, mind freak someone. Magic resistant, magic weapon, multi-attack. This time, this one's carrying a longsword. Melee weapon attack is +6 to hit, reach of 5 feet on one target. It's going to do 5 or 1d8 plus 1 slashing damage or 6 1d10 plus 1 slashing damage if used with two hands. And the claw, it's going to do +8 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one target. It's going to do 12 or 2d8 plus 3 piercing damage. If the target is a creature, it must succeed on a DC 16 constitution saving throw or take 11 2d10 poison damage and become poisoned for 1 minute. The poison target can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on a success. So if the dice say so, you're just not poisoned anymore. And there's just some foreign substance you're going to piss out later.
Oh, no.
Oh, we got the red. This is supposed to be the buffest and baddest.
Yeah.
And so far, 22 AC. Natty.
Oh, wow.
HP is going to be 255 or 30 D8 plus 120. Speed is 30 feet. Flying speed is 50 feet. Let's see. I would have kind of liked, aren't the blues better flyers than reds in Dragonkind? Is that a thing?
Oh, man, I don't even remember
anymore. I kind of vaguely standing out.
Okay.
I wish that would have been reflected in the stats if that was the case. It may not be the case. Saving throw, or sorry, we're going to do the stats. +6 to strength, +3 to dex, +4 to con, +2 to intelligence, +2 to wisdom, +4 to charisma. So
strong and charismatic and lots of constitution.
Yeah, not as many +6s as the blue. Interesting. So we're going to do a strength. This is a +12. Saving throw, con +10, wisdom +8, skills, intimidation +10, perception +8, resistant to cold, bludge, pierce, slash.
Yeah, all the same.
Immune to fire and poison. Immune to poison condition. Dark vision, language, telepathy. These all have 120-foot telepathy, which is very cool.
Yeah, they all have double sight, magic resistance, and magic weapons.
And multi-attack on this one is going to include frightful presence. And then it can also make 3 attacks, one with its Morning Star, one with its claw, and one with its bite. The Morning Star is +12 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one target. It's going to do 10 or 1d8 plus 6 piercing damage. I would have liked a a reach of 10 feet, I think would have been cool.
But they're medium creatures.
Yeah.
No problem.
Bugbears are medium. And look at how long this thing's arms are.
Yeah, I see it.
Just with the Morning Star, because that's also like a long weapon typically, right? Or is that the Morning Star?
You're thinking of flail.
Maybe I am. Morning Star. Okay, the claw is going to be a +12 to hit as well. Reach of 5 feet, one target. It's going to do 17 or 2d10 plus 6 slashing damage. Then we're going to do the bite is 12 to hit, 5 feet, one target. It's going to do 22 or 3d10 plus 6 piercing damage plus 38 or 7d10 fire damage. Frightful presence. Each creature of the Abishai's choice that is within 120 feet and aware of it must make a... must succeed on DC 18 wisdom save or become frightened, which means you can't move. The frightened creature has disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while the source of its fear is within line of sight. The creature can't willingly move closer to the source of the fear. That lasts for a minute. A creature can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns and end that effect.
It's pretty much a copy of the dragon's frightful presence.
Yeah, if you beat it, you're immune to it for a day. Insight fanaticism. The Abishai chooses up to 4 of its allies within 60 feet of it that can see it. For 1 minute, each of those allies makes attack rolls with advantage and can't be frightened.
Ooh, that's pretty brutal.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Power of the Dragon Queen. The Abishai targets one dragon it can see within 120 feet of it. The dragon must make a DC 18 charisma saving throw. A chromatic dragon makes this save with disadvantage. On a successful save, the target is immune to the Abishai's power of the Dragon Queen for 1 hour. On a failed save, the target is charmed by the Abishai for 1 hour. While charmed in this way, target regards the Abishai as a trusted friend heeded and protected.
Can you imagine if like you're rolling into battle and you got a silver dragon on your side and this guy's just like, no. And suddenly the silver dragon turns against you.
I need you over here. Red Rover, Red Rover.
That would be terrifying. That's when you run for your life.
This effect ends if the Abishai or its companions deal damage to the target. And then we're going to scale all the way down to the white.
Bottom of the barrel. Challenge rating 6.
15 AC natty, 68 HP, 8d8, plus 32. Speed of 30 feet, fly of 40 feet, plus 3 strength, plus 0 dex.
It's just a little bit worse at everything.
Plus 4 con, plus 0 intelligence, plus 1 wisdom, and plus 1 charisma. Saving throws are plus 6 to strength and plus 7 to con. It's going to resist the bludge. This one doesn't resist cold.
Because it's immune to it.
Oh, you're right. yep. Poison, can't do that shit. Dark vision, passive perception is only 11 on this one. Let's see. Devil's sight,
magic resistance, magic weapons.
It gets reckless, like a barbarian.
Like a barbarian.
At the start of its turn, you can get advantage on melee attack rolls during that turn, but then you get advantage on it for the next turn.
Mm-hmm.
Multi attack, this one's got a long sword as well, much like the green had a long sword. Melee weapon attacks plus 6 to hit, plus 5 feet, or plus 6 to hit with a reach of 5 feet. One target is going to do 7 or 1d8 plus 3 slashing damage, or 8, 1d10 plus 3 slashing damage if used with two hands. Claw, so he doesn't have hands, he's got claws. unless this is like a raptor strike with the foot. Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, so, I think it super is,
I think it's getting that foot up there.
Yeah.
Foot attack, plus 6 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one target. Gonna do 8 or 1d10 plus 3 slashing damage. It could also bite you. Oh man, look at that maw. Plus 6 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one target. It's gonna do 5 or 1d4 plus 3 piercing damage, plus 3 1d6 cold damage. A little baby plus 3.
It's a special reaction.
Yes, vicious reprisal. In response to taking damage, the Abishai makes a bite attack against a random creature within 5 feet of it. If no creature is within reach, the Abishai moves up to half its speed towards an enemy it can see without provoking opportunity attacks.
And it can fly 40 feet, so if it fly, it can fly 20 feet during That's this reaction.
Pretty fucking cool. Mm-hmm. Just one strong beat of the wings and like a little hop.
How dare you, har!
Yeah, man, that's it. That's all the stat blocks.
That's all 5 stat blocks. That's all 5 type of Abishai. Anything you want to add before we take our long rest?
Wouldn't it be cool if there were like super versions of each of these that like summoned dragon robots to like go fight?
I mean, yeah, that would be kind of crazy.
And Tiamat was in like a big cylindrical tube.
I was gonna say super versions of these are just the dragons.
Just dragons.
They're just dragons.
They just start riding. They charm the dragons and ride them in the battle.
That'd be so scary.
And then those dragons converge and make Tiamat.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a Tiamat robot.
Right, Mecha Tiamat.
Mecha Matt.
Let's take a long rest. Mecha Matt.
Just outside the studio, ranking members of the Cult of Demogorgon and founders of the Dungeon Cast fan club, Grimly and Gromly, conspire to send their demonic master pertinent information to aid and abet toward the victory of their true patron, Demogorgon, in the Blood War. Shout out to Demogorgon. Let's listen in.
Wow, I didn't know there was so much more to dragons.
They're
involved. I knew they were involved, but not at this level.
I didn't know that they were in cahoots with our devil enemies.
Yeah, cahoots.
Cahoots.
Those dirty dragons.
Dirty cahoots.
They're scary. Some of them sound kind of scary. Maybe we should report to the master.
I mean, maybe, but they're not really. They're not really fiends, are they? I mean, I know the book says they are, but they're not really fiends, are they?
I mean, it's. Whether they're fiends or not, they're spaghetti to be thrown. And we are the wall. We must tell our master.
I like your food references. Okay.
Watch me draw this fucking rune for like 10 minutes to cast a spell.
Well, I just thought of it right now.
Oh yeah, maybe.
I don't want to waste our Dark Lord's time.
I mean, he told us to do this.
Okay.
This is his thing.
All right.
Are you ready?
No, but okay.
This rune's name is Siri. Start a timer for 1 minute. Oh, you didn't quite get that, huh? Start a timer for 1 minute. Start a timer for 1 minute! Oh my god. The rune's not working. Fix the part over there. You kick those rocks. Go fix them. Okay, it's better. Start a timer for 1 minute. Dragons!
They've teamed up with dragons.
They've teamed up with dragons.
There's a lot of dragons in hell. We didn't know this going in.
They can charm dragons.
They're like weird dragon, devil, hybrids. The other devils don't like them very much.
They're like Skittles.
They don't like the other devil.
There's so many colors.
We might be able to bring them to our side.
Maybe if we tried really hard.
Yes, I mean...
we could use their charming magic.
Tiamat's not really lawful evil, is she?
I'll just hit it up with a mirror. They're gonna try to charm a dragon. I'm gonna jump in the way. I'm gonna put a mirror up. And then the charm is gonna reflect back at them. And then we'll have a dragon and a dragon.
Tiamat could be a demon lord. I'm just saying, like, we could bring her to our side. Maybe she's pretty chaotic.
Maybe we should hit her up.
Yeah, maybe we should talk to her.
Hey, T.
Hey,
T. We got people.
We hear you're pretty gross. We're gross, too.
Yeah, we can get down like you over here. If that's what you want. Maybe we should bring T down to an orgy.
Oh, no.
You think we have some demon babies?
No.
Wait, no, you don't want to
do that. No, I'm not interested in that part.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Hopefully he got some pertinent information out of that.
Maybe I should have waited to say that last thing that I said at the end until the rune magic deactivated.
Yes, that would have been wise.
Thank you, Siri Rune.
Shout out to Demogorgon.
Shout out to Demogorgon.
Hey everybody, welcome to the long rest. It's Chaboy, and I'm here to get ready for bed.
Indeed.
And when I do that, I like to read things that people send me.
I know.
I'm so happy. Thank you guys for sending stuff to the P.O. box. We haven't read anything yet, so if they say naughty, dirty things, I'm just going to read them.
Okay, let's find out.
I think we told everybody we're going to read these if you send them on the show.
We did.
Now, this is a postcard.
And it's awesome.
And it has a very sweet beholder on it with lips that have lipstick on them.
Yeah.
Green eyes. It's smiling.
Is that like a fighter?
There's some sort of, I would say that's a bard.
Okay, a bard.
A bard.
And what's the bard doing? Serenading?
It looks like they might be
presenting
confessing
flowers?
Their love.
To the beholder.
To the beholder, yeah.
This is
they're
wild.
Down on one knee, they have flowers, and this is clearly an adventure. They have some sort of like, well, that looks like pajamas.
Yeah.
This looks like a fucking grown-up character from Peter Pan.
Sure.
Like how they snatch these kids in the night and they're wearing pajamas the whole time.
I mean, he's wearing a tunic, man. That's how people dressed him in medieval times.
That's pajamas. Look, it's light blue and it's long as
it's,
fuck.
Hold on. It's a tunic and stockings and soft leather boots.
This is the long rest, so it's pajamas.
Okay, fine.
And a heart. There's a heart on the belt down here.
It's kind of a heart on his crotch, let's be honest here.
It's offset.
It's offset. It's offset.
This guy's leaning way right. Wow. Impressive.
All right. What does this postcard say? Who's
fun.
It from?
As to the Dungeon Cast, Will and Brian. Will plus Brian.
That's us.
Oh, yeah. No, from. I guess I'll read that. From is at the very end.
Okay. Go ahead.
The postcard says, thank you for an amazing year of the Beholder and all of the inspiration. Can't wait for this next year's fiendishly good content. Hope you enjoyed this card. All my love for what you two do. Christian B., enemy of Oz.
Thank you, Christian. This was a lovely postcard. Thank you for sending it to us.
Welcome to, and look, it's an official Dungeons & Dragons postcard.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you so much for sending this. We were very excited to see it. And congratulations, Christian, for being the first person to have your shit get read on the show.
Indeed.
All right. We got one from, should I say where they're from?
No, definitely do not reveal their location.
No, not the specific one, but it has the state.
I mean, they had it here too on this one, but you didn't notice.
I did. It's just like I see that one all the time. It didn't faze me. This one fazed me because it's from far away.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, we'll just open it. I got a letter here. Will, why don't you open that one while I open this one?
Okay. I shall do so.
I'm being so delicate. I might not need to. Hey, listen to this ASMR track of us. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to tap the letter.
Oh, wow, this one is typed, and it has two pages. Are you going first, or am I reading this first?
Oh, I just wanted to get the opening out of the way. I'm going to read this one because it looks short.
Sounds good.
Oh, it's a thank you card. It says thank you so much, and it's got some adventure shit on the front. It's just like a scenic forest horizon shot.
That's really nice.
Thank you. Dear Will and Brian, I'm guessing I have to read like that.
I think so.
Yeah, left page, then right page. Just a quick note to say thank you for all the interesting and entertaining content. After a 30-year hiatus, my high school friends and I have launched back into D. Does that say launched, right?
Yes, you got
okay,
it right.
Launched back into D&D, and you have been a great resource for specific topics as well as the state of the game. I love that episode. That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I left in first edition and had a lot of catching up to do. We currently have two games going. I am DMing a return to Goodman Games, Keep on the Borderlands. And another of us is running an adventure where we all play as goblins, dubbed the Goblicles?
The Goblicles.
The Goblicles.
It's the Goblicles.
That's pretty good. Be safe. Be safe, Brendan and Brian, Craig, John. What's that one, Will?
Mark.
Mark. You can't tell. I thought it was Mar. I thought those was double R's.
It's I think Mark. It's Mark.
Mark and Mike.
Thank you all, you guys. So thank you, Brendan, Brian, Craig, John, Mark, and Mike.
Maybe one of these is like a typo scratch, and it's Mark with a C. That'd be badass.
That would be badass, I suppose.
It's cool still with the K, though.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Do you want to read that, or you want me to read it?
This is from Joe Ricard.
Maybe we should read them beforehand in case they include, like...
like crazy bad things?
Shit. I mean,
maybe. We'll see.
Dear Will and Brian, let me tell you about my fiend homebrew. It's very detailed.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe, for the letter. I shall now read it. Hello, Brian and Will.
Hi.
Big fan of the show. I've been listening for about 2 years now and have listened to most, if not all, the episodes. I played second edition in life a long time ago. But between college life and falling out with my DM, not related to the game, I haven't kept up with it. I love the lore behind it all and was a big fan of the Forgotten Realms novels. Just a suggestion, you've done the inner planes and the more interesting outer planes. What if you did some stuff on the more mundane places like Waterdeep, Neverwinter, Luskin, or Thay? I understand it might not be enough for a full episode, but just an idea. It's a good idea, and it's one I've considered.
Enough for full episodes, each of those places.
And they very well might happen.
Multiple episodes. We could do a whole episode on the Yawning Portal.
Right. Keep up the good work. I look forward to the 22nd year of the blank. And have a Merry Christmas and 22 year, like 2022. That's what it means.
Oh,
the 22 year of the blank. They probably didn't know it was going to be the fiend quite yet.
Oh, wow.
And have a Merry Christmas and safe new year. Although the way the mail's been, you might not see this till June. LOL.
Dude, is that what it's going on? Like, yeah. 'Cause it's literally been, I've been checking granted, I forgot to check it before last recording, but I had been rhythmically checking it like once every couple weeks at least.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Just got to us now. Joe Ricard, and then they have a second page here. I had an afterthought.
Oh, dude, I thought these were two full pages at first.
Oh, no.
This is like a postscript.
Yeah, a postscript. In a dragon episode, you were joking about a dragon working as a stockbroker or something of the nature. In one of the novels, Monster Hunter International, our hero descends into the sub basement of the Last Dragon Casino, where he finds a ginormous chamber full of gold coins and stacks of money, antique cars, artwork, and other riches. In the center, on a massive throne, surrounded by TV and computer screens, was a dragon wearing a Bluetooth and day trading. Funniest thing ever. I highly recommend the series. Yeah, thank you for the suggestion. We'll check it out. Thank you, Joe.
Can I see how Joe spelled ginormous? I don't regularly see that word.
Yeah, I think that's pretty.
That's how I would do it. Good job, Joe. Yes,
absolutely. Thank you, Joe. And thank you, everyone who sent us stuff.
Yeah, we really appreciate
and
that.
Anyone who's interested in sending us stuff, please do. At the P.O. Box, you should see it in the description of the video and or episode.
Like the sick Xanathar mini. We don't know who sent it. We said it. We called you out at the top of the episode, but we've had a few gifts come through. And thank you guys so much. It means a lot, especially after, like, having such a drought in the P.O. box at first. That wasn't really a drought, it seems, because things are just showing up staggered.
Right.
You know, requests from people to send stuff for a long time were happening. So I was like, okay, let's do this. So it feels so good. It feels so good. You know what else makes me feel good?
What?
Money.
Oh, God. Yeah. Sure.
When it comes in this way, it's just converts straight to gratitude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, thank you guys so much for helping keep the lights on. You can go to the patreon.com/thedungeoncast to support the show, like these fine people, like Rooster McSuper.
Thank you, Rooster McSuper.
Thanks, Roost. Can I call you Roost?
I feel like I can.
I'm definitely going to call you Rooster McSuper because check that name out. We got Joe Othon. Othon. What do you think, Will? O-T-H-O-N. Othon.
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 Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Another Joe. Is it the same Joe?
No, that's Joe Ricard.
Oh, okay. So you guys are both cool. Nice name.
Both Joes are cool in my book.
Kyle Proctor.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle Proctor.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. Oh, shit. It's Anthony Cardinale. He's back.
He's back.
I would say from the dead, but he definitely wasn't.
He never died.
Never died
even
once.
His name is Anthony Cardinale, and we thank him very much.
He'll never die in our hearts.
Thank you, Anthony.
Wow, Anthony. Look at you go. Look at you. We got Mayro Prime.
Thank you, Mayro Prime.
It's M-A-Y-R-O Prime. Mm-hmm. It's all one word, Mayro Prime. Thank you, Mayro Prime.
Thank you, Mayro Prime.
Horst Sarubin.
Thank you, Horst.
Thank you, Horst. The Wild Tanuki's back, baby.
Wild Tanuki's Wild back. Tanuki. We missed you, Wild Tanuki.
What's good, Wild Tanuki?
Thank you again.
Thank you. Stay wild. Stay dangerous, Wild Tanuki.
Also, stay a Tanuki.
Andy, yeah, don't get hit and turn into like just a regular Mario. Andy Schick.
Thank you, Andy.
Andy, hey, thanks.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. All right. That was it for the thanks.
All right. Is there anything else we want to talk about?
The checklist. Where is it?
Oh, no.
Cungeon Dast. Dungeon Cast. How do I get into the drive anymore?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I'm sorry I reorganized the drive.
No, it's been like this for weeks. I just need to catch up. Okay. Where's the long rest checklist? Good job on Will. All right. We did the shout outs. Check Patreon. We kind of already touched on it, but it's the number one way to support us. So thanks for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We already plugged that a lot.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about any changes that are going to be happening on Patreon soon?
No, I can wait till the time comes.
Okay. There's going to be changes soon.
Yeah.
It's going to affect Super Quest Saga a lot, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Is your money busy right now? Too busy for us. That's fine. We get it. We only want your money if you want to give it to us.
If you can spare it.
Yeah, like it's cool if you can't. If you want to give money and can't, or even you don't want to give money, that's all. Either of those things are cool. But if you still want to help us and you don't want it to involve money, go on to Apple Podcasts, Spotify review, or whatever the heck you're listening to us on. YouTube, if it's that. You know, hit that subscribe, hit that like, or leave us a podcast review. The 5-star ones obviously help the best, but, you know, whatever. Reviewing the show in any capacity, it helps a lot.
Indeed, it does. It really, really does.
Maybe you changed your mind. Your money's good, but you hate Patreon because you don't like Jack Conte or something. He's our CEO. I watched him when he was on YouTube.
Oh,
before
okay.
he made Patreon.
Gotcha.
Super weird thing to happen
right.
my life anyway. We have a merch store, so if you want physical tangible items, which you can also get on Patreon in an exclusive way, but we've got like stuff that everybody can get at the merch store. New items, it says,
like the cool Primina shirt from Super Quest Saga I'm wearing today.
Yes, Will just showed the camera, but the camera's not on.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you've been watching this episode on YouTube, you've been seeing it the whole episode.
Timestamp what you just saw and then rewind to a part where Will's on screen. And then it just says Blood Eagle.
No, don't you start with that. It does not
just say Blood. Just said Blood Eagle.
Oh, boy.
Spread the word. Hey, did you go to the merch shop and you hated it and you decided you don't want to spend money? Well, just tell somebody about the show because you're here and you enjoyed it, I hope. So thanks. Unless YouTube's just on and you're playing Elden Ring and fucking you don't even know what's
Dude,
going on
I'm
anymore.
I'm so stoked about getting Elden Ring.
Elden
myself.
Ring. I need a PlayStation or something. Can you? Is it on the Switch?
No, it's definitely not on Switch.
I keep asking people that and they're like, probably not, man. No, like, yeah, you're probably right.
Definitely not on Switch and will never be on Switch.
Well, no, Elder Scrolls is on Switch.
Elder Scrolls runs like a tin can or a potato compared to this game.
I'm sure.
Yeah. No, that's my point. It's like Skyrim is 10 years old.
What they'll do.
And it runs badly on the Switch.
Yeah. They're going to do the Switch up, which is like they switched it up. It's the next Switch.
I actually like that idea.
Me too. Spread the word. Rip it in half. Spread it all over. Follow us from the bottom up.
Blood Eagle.
Follow us on Discord.
I mixed up Spread Eagle and Blood Eagle. That's what
yes, that's what happened. That was the joke from the last Jesus recording Christ. Session.
I forgot. It's been 3 weeks.
It has been 3 weeks since we made any jokes
Jesus.
Like that. But it's my favorite joke of Year of the Fiend so far. We've done a lot of good
only,
jokes.
Only true fans that make it deep in the long rest will understand this reference.
We'll
and
understand
I love it.
The Blood Eagle and its Nordic origins. Finding us here. Join our Discord where we have lovely people everywhere.
Yeah.
Just everywhere you look in there.
Everywhere you look.
Wall to wall fools. Good fools. It's a good thing. We got a Twitter, we got an Instagram, and we got a TikTok.
And we post on those pretty regularly.
We post on them.
Whether it's memes or insights or other creator spotlights, if you want to check that stuff out, go follow us on those social media platforms.
And that's all I've got on the long rest checklist.
All right. Well, with that being said, I think we can call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.
Dungeon Cast.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.